Hey, it's Rabbi Brian in post-production. Having a bit of a hard day myself right now while I'm recording this intro. I hope that this service does you well.
This is the Saturday service. I like to write it so it looks like this is live and happening. The Saturday service. This is a Saturday service. Today is the 5th of September, 2020. For those of you who are watching this afterwards or listening to this afterwards, there's no way for me to prove it, but on the screen right now, everyone wave and say hi. Some of you might
hi.
Be. There's a whole group of, we got 31 people who are on right this moment. I'm glad that they're all here. So welcome, Saturday service. I'm your host, Rabbi Brian, and I did just show this to the people who came early. I'll show it to those of you who are just showing up. You have to just take it one, are you fucking kidding me, at a time. I appreciate whoever laughed the loudest there. Thank you very much. It wasn't Steve. You're muted. Hey, Steven. Good to see you. Glad you're here. So welcome, welcome. We are going to begin today with the same review that we've been doing lots of other weeks. And we're going to do a quick review about what is this spiritual life, this spiritual stuff we're talking about. And I realize I haven't talked about this one in a while, and I don't know how many of you might remember this. It spells pies. And, oh, hey, Sean, glad you're here. Nancy. Anyone remember what pies had to do with this? S was spiritual. Anyone remember what the P, the I, and the E stood for?
Intellectual.
Oh, wait, I got more than one person who remembers. What was, so give me, like, show me who wants to talk here. So I got, Ricky, what do you got?
Physical, intellectual, emotional.
Physical, intellectual, emotional, and then this other quadrant is the spiritual. And my thought is that we all know very well, and our society teaches us very well, how to improve our lives in all of the, in the pie part, but it's in the S, spiritual quadrant, that I think we can get a lot of great work done. And, you know, if you're thinking about the Pareto principle, 80-20, and where to put the lever on a rock, we can get a lot more out of life the more we get ourselves healthy in the spiritual realm. But, okay, here we go, guys. Quiz time. There are five elements to a spiritual life that we've talked about. Hi, Rita. Glad to see you're here. And Brian, glad to see you. Anyone? Yeah, I saw a hand there. Somebody give me one of the five elements of a spiritual life. We got at least five elements of a spiritual life. Yes, Nancy. Nancy, we're going to do it by hands today. We're going to be very proper.
What? Like a real hand?
No. I saw you, Nancy. What's one of the five elements of a spiritual life?
Oh, I forgot. Just kidding. Transformation?
It is transformation. The idea that things aren't static. And I'm going to look straight at the camera, look straight at you. You are not the you think you used to be. You're not the you maybe even think you are. You're always transforming and growing. What a wonderful thing. Thank you, Nancy. Perfect. I got four more elements of a spiritual life. And Betsy Ann, you might have been moving your hair or you might have been raising your hand. I can't tell.
I was moving my hair.
Okay. I got a lot. Yes, Rita, what do you have? Spiritual life is about transformation. What else is it about?
Service.
A spiritual life is about service. And I was talking to someone. I had made the picture like this that said it's not about us. But we're going to improve on that picture and make it look like this. It's about others, and I'm also going to say, we're going to make this a both and, that it's not about us. It's about being part of a, being serving community, and at the same time, both and, not either or, that it is also about us. So we can have two things at one. So I changed that one up a little bit. So that's number two, that it's not about us, it is about us. I got three more qualities to a spiritual life, according to Eric Fromm. Yes, Carol?
Hierarchy of values.
A spiritual life is marked by a hierarchy of values. That and at the top of a lot of them, we put love, hope, faith. And the bottom, let's not drag to the bottom. Give me two others. Do I have two others?
Do one or two at the bottom. I think it's important since you emphasize hierarchy.
Okay, so what would we say at the bottom of our morals, at the bottom of our morality scale, what would you say would be at the bottom of a morality scale?
Charity.
How about
self-indulgence?
Self-indulgence sometimes is a good thing, but if you just continue, if we maybe put the seven deadly sins, I don't know who came up with that list, but those things might not be our highest values. Gluttony, lying. I think lying, I can't imagine, well, no, I can't actually imagine a situation where lying is important. Here's a great...
Those are sins. So lying...
So we would say, we could say sins would be at the bottom of our hierarchy of values.
Sin has value?
Yes, the children are in desperate need of protection. They lie to protect themselves.
Right, and I'll give you a great quote, and I can't remember who said it. Maybe somebody can help me out on the author. The quote was, "Yesterday I bent the truth to be kind, for I am far more certain as to what is kind than what is true." I'll say that one again. "Yesterday I bent the truth to be kind, and I have no regrets, for I am far more certain as to what is kind than what is true." I thank you for the audio feedback, people. That's very nice. I did a wedding last week, a very COVID wedding, and it was really difficult to do because the 20 people who were there in the audience, you couldn't get any sense of their reaction at all because you couldn't see their faces. It was very strange. So I really appreciate the sounds coming back. So, Michael, does that suffice that we have a hierarchy that not everything is the same? We don't have to necessarily...
That's different than saying a hierarchy.
Okay.
I agree. The issue of hierarchy is confusing. How do you say truth is less important than love? These kinds of things.
But we can say that hatred...
More important than the goodness of heart, things like that.
Yeah, and hatred we would put down towards the bottom.
Right, but I don't see hatred as a value.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling these values.
Okay. Hey, folks, I'm...
Righteous indignation, maybe?
Righteous indignation is not higher. I would put lower down than love.
Okay, but that's a value.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, a graph and then have the negative.
Right, that at a certain point we go negative. I will give you another quote about moral indignation. And this one, you want to turn your speaker down for this because you don't want to hear this quote. It's, "Moral indignation is often jealousy with a halo." Moral indignation is often jealousy with a halo. That when I'm, how dare those kids be doing that? That maybe really they're doing something that I would never allow myself to do. And really I'm jealous about it. We like that one? Can I get a thumbs up on that? Okay. I still have 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm missing one on my list. Yes, thank you very much. The last one is that questions in a spiritual realm, we would say, maybe this is also a hierarchy, we would say that not understanding is more important than declarative statements. And that our sense and... there's a quote from Voltaire who said, "Dubium incommodo est," that doubt is uncomfortable, but certainty is ridiculous. Doubt is uncomfortable, certainty is ridiculous. We like that one too. I am scoring today. I think I've gotten like 4 things that people have liked already, and we're only 10 minutes in. I have to ask could you please make sure to have some paper and pen near you today? Because when we're going to be doing our frustration games in a little moment, having paper and pencil next to you would definitely be of help.
It'd be frustrating if we didn't.
Oh, you just wait, Rita. I got some tricks up my sleeves.
And also, is there anyone who, and I thank Alex, who is always volunteering and helping with tech stuff, and Joe, who is always helping with the chat box and making sure that and moderating that. Is there anyone else who comes fairly regularly? I'm looking for a volunteer who has a stopwatch or has some way of timing things. And if you could send me a message later or at some time letting me know, there's something that I want to do during the service of keeping track of time for YouTube purposes. So if you're a regular... Lee?
It's called a mobile phone, dude.
Well, I know, but I didn't want to say who has a phone and then volunteer because then, like, everyone has to volunteer. So I was trying to... Like, yeah, you all have the technology, but does anyone have the desire to have a little game, a little gig to do? Please send me a note afterwards so I can hook you up with that. One other thing we should review before we dive in for today. One other thing we should review, we talked about last week, and we've talked about before, were stages of learning. And Bob, I know you said that you were coming prepared with that today. If I call on you, Bob, can you tell me one of the stages of learning? Are you there, Bob?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Go ahead. You sound like a game show there.
Well, the first one is you don't know anything.
Okay, so the first stage is you can't do it at all. And give me all the way number five in learning.
Okay, the second one is when you are starting to learn.
Okay, so this is where you're just starting. I'm going to repeat what you're saying because your audio is getting a little weird. So stage two in learning is where you're starting to learn and you need pretty much to be you need to be helped all the way through. Keep going, Bob.
Okay, the third one is getting hints from outside.
So the outside hints is I say, oh, don't you, come on, can't you remember it rhymes with W or whatever. And then number four?
Yeah, internal hints.
Where you say to yourself, come on, Bob, I know I remember. Well, you're talking to yourself. I know I remember this. And then number five?
Is automatic.
Yeah, you do it without thinking. You can do it just perfectly without thinking. We're going to be looking at that with regard to frustration in a moment. I do want to bring in, is Pam, do I have Pam Horowitz with us today? Is she on the line? She had made a request. But we're not going to do her request. All right. I'm going to move us straight in to a quote from Thomas Merton. It's a beautiful quote. And Alex, I've pre-gamed and given Alex all of the quotes. So Alex will be placing them into the chat box so that you can get them. Here's a quote from Thomas Merton. He said, to allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender oneself to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. Now that's an interesting strong word, isn't it? It destroys your inner capacity for peace. It destroys the full fruitfulness of your own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes the work beautiful.
Wow.
Okay, for those of you who are watching us through Facebook, I don't think I'm streaming it to Facebook. Yes, I am streaming it to Facebook. Good for me. Here's everybody. Can you do that expression of wow again? Because I just thought it was a beautiful thing.
Wow.
Okay, wow. Now they could all see the wow. To surrender oneself, to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender oneself to too many demands. Show of hands, people. How many of you have given yourself too many demands at the very top of your screen? Down at the bottom, you're fine and you know how to set limits and you're not doing too many. Anybody? Nobody's at the bottom of the screen. Okay. Most of, right? So this is something we all need to work on. We all need to work on how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we keep ourselves from doing too much. And what we're going to do is we're going to go off into breakout rooms as soon as I can find that. And I'm going to send a group of people to the room. We'll have a larger group. And I'm going to ask the person whose screen name is alphabetically towards the beginning of the alphabet. The screen name is, so when you go to your room, you'll see somebody's closest to A. Whoever that person is gets to be moderator. If it is not comfortable for you to be a moderator and your name is Alice, please pick somebody. Your first action as the moderator, you can say, Janet, you're now the moderator. So there are some people who just are not comfortable doing this role. That's perfectly fine. I can't tell who that is alphabetically. So I'm going to put everyone into rooms. And I want you to take a moment to discuss with each other, what are some of these conflicting concerns that you have? And how might you get better? How might you not do them? So two things. What are the conflicting concerns? Things that you just get sucked into without even thinking. You find yourself doing yet this again or another thing that you don't have time on your plate to do. And then maybe as a group, what are some things that you can do to fix that? Are we ready to go off to our little Zoom rooms? Here we go, guys. Zooming on off. And I'll call you all back in a few moments. I'll call you all back in about 5 minutes. You should be... There you go. Hey, Rob. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you didn't quite make it to the other room, did you?
Oh, that's good. No, I don't know what's the matter. I'd have to just turn off the internet and turn it on again. I just couldn't get in.
Well, welcome back, Joan. Did you get to see the quote that we were looking at?
No, I didn't.
I can read it to you. Can you see it on my screen here?
Yes, I think so.
I'll read it as you read it. It says, To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender oneself to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. More than that, it is cooperation in violence. It destroys your inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of your own work, because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes the work beautiful. And the question that I first asked everyone was, can you relate to this idea of surrendering yourself to too many demands, too many projects, and wanting to help everybody?
Yes.
Me too.
Definitely.
Right? Yes. All of us.
In the last week, definitely.
Yeah. And what do you think is driving that in us? Why do you think we do it?
A lot of it has been because my iMac won't play ball with me.
Uh-huh. You said you were going to throw it out the window.
I was, but it's 21-inch one, and it's very heavy.
Mm.
That's what keeps it here.
So why do you think we allow ourselves to get into so many projects knowing that we can't do all of them?
Normally, what I was doing would have been fine. I was trying to get into Zoom to host an evening prayer meeting, but Zoom, the iMac went dilally, is the only word for it, and wouldn't let me get in. Then, not helped actually by the fact that when I was doing the invitations, it copied it to the clipboard, fine. Neil, who's our rector, was telling me to do wasn't right because he's Microsoft and I'm Apple, and he was saying use Control V.
Mm-hmm. And you needed to do Command V.
Command V.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realised that when I got in once, when he was telling me, I'd done Command V by accident, but I thought my fingers weren't so far apart of trying to get between Control and V as they are.
Mm.
So I tried Command by accident, you know, just to see, and of course I got straight in.
Well, there you have it. Do
that's what's been the most of the frustration?
Well,
the computer.
You are in very good stead because today we are going to be focusing a lot on frustration.
Yes, I saw that. I thought I've got to be there.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm closing up all the other rooms for people, and other people are starting to come back. Welcome back, Carol. Here they come. Oops.
That's nice. Keep playing over there.
I will, but he's coming in later.
Oh, okay.
I thank you, Carol. And all the rooms are going to close in a moment. What did you come up with, Carol? Why do we allow ourselves to succumb to this violence of overtasking?
Well, that's really
Sherry. Sherry, where are you?
Hold on 1 second. People are still coming back. All right.
No, and Sherry was mid-sentence when we got cut off.
Oh, sorry about that. Continue.
I am personally listening to Sherry, so everyone else.
I'm actually making lists and really defining the main things I have to do and then anything else if I have time.
Right. Good. That's good. So you're not doing it unconsciously. You're doing it consciously. Carol, you were just saying, and my question, Carol and I were in a little discussion and we got broken off and she was about to open her font of wisdom. And the question was, why do we allow ourselves to do this self-violence? Why do we all overcommit? Why do we do more than we should be doing?
I think one of the joys of getting older is that you've gotten clearer about your boundaries. And I think it's very, very important that we learn that we are as valuable as anyone else on this planet. And we no longer have to impress anyone.
Mm.
Nobody is judging us. We have to do what we feel comfortable with doing, and we have to not do what does not work.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. And we had talked at some point all about boundaries, and setting boundaries is the space at which you can love another and love yourself at the same time.
Exactly.
Right.
I know I cannot change the political situation, so I just simply stop watching television.
Yeah.
I can answer that.
Wonderful. Oh, that reminds me, Alex, would you throw into the chat box? I have a little political, I've been doing this text banking thing where I send out 300 text messages per day to try to support the candidates that I care about. And then on Sundays, I do phone banking, which is a whole different thing. But if you want, and you can do this in Canada or in the Shetland Islands or wherever you are, you're allowed to interfere in American elections this way. No, I looked into it. It is not meddling. What you are doing is you are encouraging people to vote. And that is perfectly fine to do, and seeing where they're voting. So in the link that is in the chat box right now, thank you, Alex, for putting it there. And if you like video games at all, Lee, like you and I do, it's kind of like playing a video game. It's a text-based video game where you're texting people and then they send you a response and then you pick which one of the responses you should put in. It's kind of fun. But if you're doing too many things, I don't want you to succumb to self-violence and to do this to yourself. Self-love is important as well. I'm going to turn anything else we want to share out on this quote? This beautiful, beautiful quote, other things that came. Candace, go ahead.
I thought of this thing earlier, and it's helping is the satellite of control.
It's helping what? Say that again. It's helping?
Helping is the funny side of control.
Oh. Helping is the funny, F-U-N-N-Y?
Sunny.
Sunny.
Sunny. Sun in the sky. Sunny.
That makes much more sense. Helping is the sunny side of control. It can be.
Yeah.
if you try to take over the project. Yeah, I agree. Wonderful. What else did you have, Carol?
And when things are chaotic like they are, pandemic and election, if we can help as much as possible, we can control the outcome.
Candace, you're breaking up a little. We can't hear you well. I apologize. Carol and Alex. Alex, you go, and then Carol. What else did you get from this quote?
I just thought it was extremely well-timed. Because as this COVID has gotten deeper, and this is something that I shared in our breakout group, I'm getting more and more requests from people that I barely know wanting help. And I'm having to start to draw some lines in the sand about who I can and can't help, not because I don't want to help them, but because some of them are really kind of messy, complicated people, and I know I'm going to get sucked into something.
Right, and then it's self-violence. I apologize. I interrupted you.
But anyway, and so I mean, this is just so well timed because I'm really wrestling with some of these questions right now. Who do you help and how far do you go?
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I'm going to add in, my friend Larry says, good people never feel like they're doing enough.
Yes.
Carol Williams, you said you had your hand up. What? Give me another thought on this, if you have.
No, I didn't have a thought on this. I just wanted to apologize to the people in my small group. We didn't get a chance to all talk.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very, very
good
of you. I'm going to move us along to a slightly different topic. Thank you guys all. Here is... A lot of you know that I write to a man named James, and I know some of you have sent him postcards. Ruth, I know you sent postcards and notes, and Carol Williams, I know you sent postcards and notes. Alex and I have been in touch with James for years and years and years. He and his friends are writing a book, and I want to just show you a little bit of the project. It is painful. Here's the name. The book is called Right Our Wrongs, Letters... hold on. Letters to Victims, Poems and Short Stories. And they've written these they're not the best writers in the world, but they're the best writers in the world. They're these beautiful, beautiful things. And I'm doing my best to try to help them to get the word out. And I will let you know when the book is out and available, because I would encourage all of you to buy a copy. None of the profit, and this is what they're doing, is none of the profits are going to them. All the profits are going to victims' restitutions. And these are all people who have seen the light. It's amazing. It's really amazing. I'm honored that I get to collate the book and help them with it. Alex, you put the James's address if anyone wants to write to James. It's a man. He's a...
cards to sell.
Yeah, and send him cards. The rules are they cannot have anything glued or any glitter on them, and he can get up to 10 cards and 10 stamps at a time. And stamps, stamps are very valuable. And also, under COVID, the canteen is closed. Everything's shut down. He's in his cell 23 hours a day. It's pretty rough. So I'm trying to get him some more pen pals and more people just to write to him and say hi. You don't even have to put a return address if you don't want. Just tell him you're thinking of him. Because, I mean, you think lockdown's bad for you. Okay, thank
you. Can he get books?
If you send books, you can send books from Amazon or from any distributor, but you cannot send anything personal. Thank you for... Go ahead.
Can you only get 10 stamps?
Yes. Alex, that's correct. 10 stamps at a time?
Actually, what you can send is you can send like you can send one of the stamp strips. I think there's actually 20. I think there's 20 on here.
Okay, so 20.
I didn't think of that. I sent 10 cards, but I didn't put my name for the return address. I put ROTB.
It's all fine.
My name?
Well, some people get sketchy. I mean, I've been using my address. I'm fine. I've been using.
Oh, I don't. I just thought
you can do anything you want. It's all up to you. I thank you all for considering doing so. We're gonna move along. I said we would talk about frustration today, and here we go. Frustration time. Wait, hold on. Frustration time. Here is the quote from Plato. Of all the victories, the first and greatest is for a person to conquer him or herself. Yes. All right. Of all the victories, the first and greatest is for a person to conquer his or herself. And I'm going to give you, this is like, we're going to do a scientific experiment now. And we're going to see in laboratory settings, which is right now, you, Zoom screen, everyone watching, and me. This is our laboratory. I'm going to intentionally bring you a little bit of frustration. And the whole point of the game is for you to notice what's going on in your head. What is the voice in your head telling you as we're introducing a frustration? And I'll do some timeouts and pauses along the way as we do it. But the first one's called I'm Going to a Picnic. And it's a little game. And it goes like this. I'm going to first say, I'm Rabbi Brian. I'm going to a picnic. And I'm bringing rhubarb. Can I go? Does anyone know this game? It's a camp game. Yeah. Okay, so Nancy, I just said, my name's Rabbi Brian. I'm going to a picnic. I'm bringing rhubarb. Can I go? And Nancy, may I go? Yes or no? Oh, Nancy, you're muted. Go. Yes, I'm allowed to go. Rabbi Brian, I'm bringing rhubarb. I can go. Nancy, would you mind? You do a turn and let's see if we can get this going.
And Rabbi Brian, my name is Nancy and I'm going to a picnic and you're bringing rhubarb pie. May I bring salad?
No. Oh, well, now this is awkward. So there are different rules to different ways you play it, but the way that I'm playing the game, salad would not work for you, Nancy. You would be able to bring nectarines to go with my rhubarb, but not salad.
Fine.
Okay.
Can I bring nectarines?
Yes, you may. Yes, you may. Can somebody else give a try, and let's see how well this goes or doesn't go.
I will.
Go ahead.
My name is Joy, and I'll bring custard.
I'm sorry, Joy. You might be able to bring jelly, but not custard, Joy. Yes, Carol, go ahead.
My name is Carol, and I'm going to bring Coke.
You're going to bring Coca-Cola, Coke. Yes, perfect. You may come to the picnic.
Thank you.
Okay, now pause right there. I want everyone to stop. Just listen to what's going on in your head as this is going. How many of you are saying, this is a stupid game? How did I know? Right? So just look at that. You get frustrated and one of the first reactions is, let's keep playing. Let's see how it goes. Rags, may I ask you to play? Okay, Rags, I'm Rabbi Brian. I'm bringing rhubarb or I could bring raspberries. Rabbi Brian, raspberries. That sounds really good. I may go to the picnic. Rags, what would you bring? Sorry that you may not come to the picnic with a bunch of bananas, Rags.
Sarah,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Could I bring some salad?
Sari, my sister, may bring salad. That's some really good alliteration. That's fantastic. Yes, you may come to the picnic. If you get the game, don't say the rule out loud. But again, let's just see what's happening here.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Sherry.
Yeah, just tell me. Rhubarb, what were they?
Rhubarb, nectarines, rags, raspberry jelly, salad. My sister's bringing salad. Yes, Lee, what do you have?
My name is Lee, and I'll bring luscious lemons.
Luscious lemons, fantastically. Now, notice for yourselves at this point, are you getting more and more mad, or is there any humor or fun in this game? Because this is just, look, if this is where you go in your mind when we're playing a stupid game on Zoom, imagine what happens when you don't understand something that has some significance to it. All right, let's try again. Shirley Wainis, you want to come to the picnic? Do you have any idea what you could bring?
Oh,
Sorry, Shirley. Rita, go ahead.
My name is Rita, and I'll bring radishes.
Radishes would be wonderful. Yes, Stephen.
I'm Stephen, and I would like to bring sweet strawberries.
Sweet strawberries from Stephen. My sister Sarah's bringing salad. Rita is bringing radishes. Carol, you did a little fist pump in the air. It looks like you got something going on there. What happened?
I got one.
Okay, go ahead, Sherry.
My name is Sherry, and I'll bring soda.
You may. That's fantastic. Okay, now, at this point, if you don't get there's some rule that everyone's following that you don't get right now. Are you getting mad at them? Are you getting mad at me? Like, again, just check in with yourself, because let's go back to the Plato quote. Of all the victories, the first and greatest is for a person to conquer him or herself. This is all internal. This is fantastic. We're doing a great job. Who's got another one?
I have.
Go ahead.
It's Joy, and I would like to bring cream.
I'm sorry, Joy. As much as I like cream, you may not bring cream to the picnic. I think Carol Williams could bring cream. Candace could bring cream.
Hint.
Well, they're only hints if you know what's going on. And it's really frustrating if you don't know what's going on. Yes, Shirley, you look like a big smile.
My name is Shirley, and I will bring sangria.
Sangria. Fantastic. Betsy Ann, what are you bringing?
My name is Betsy Ann, and I'm going to bring, can I bring bok choy?
Bok choy. Nobody likes bok choy, but yes, you may.
The way I make it, people...
No, I do like bok choy. I'm sorry. Ruth Bernstein, what are you bringing?
I'm bringing rum.
Rum. That's a great thing to bring, and you may come to the picnic. I see smiles on most everybody's face, but that doesn't mean that everyone gets the game yet. But Derek, what do you have?
My name's Derek, and I'm going to bring dandelion wine.
I'm going to have some of that after I have the rum. That's great. All right, Derek, can you tell us what is the rule that we've been following here?
What you're bringing is got the same first letter as your name.
Aha, okay, good. Well played on frustration. I'm going to ask us to take a breath of air. I'm going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to do something a little bit different, then we're going to go to another one of these. All right, mini lesson. God caricatures. Here's something that's really fascinating. 2006, I think it was, Baylor University did a gigantic study of North Americans and looked into the most common notions of God, what people meant when they used the word God. And they came up with four different notions of God. Me being me, I added a fifth because I didn't find the four of them were enough. But here's the four common caricatures, their notions of who God is. And fortunately, they come out as an ABCDary, which is a fancy word for an acrostic that goes in alphabetical order. So the four notions of God, the four most common notions of God that are used in North America are A, that God is authoritarian.
Nope.
No, well, I'm not saying we have to believe this, but this is a notion of God that many people have, that God is somewhat like Zeus, sitting with a old white beard with thunderbolts. You had a bacon double cheeseburger, and God goes whew, and smotes you. I'm not saying these are what God is. I'm just saying these are the four most common notions of God in the United States. Authoritarian is one.
I'm smoking too.
Yes, yes, you are. And I think, Rob, you and God smoke the same kind of stuff. B is benevolent. And if you're looking for benevolent, and if you're looking for a caricature of it, this one is Zeus and this one is Santa. You had a bacon double cheeseburger? Oh, I like those too. I cheat on my diet sometimes. That's God here. God's often referred to as Zeus or Santa. And again, these are not necessarily...
Frozen.
What happened? I'm hearing.
Maybe you are.
Okay. Well, we'll see what's happening. I'm going to keep going. God, obviously, this is God's favorite part of what I'm doing today. It's all about God here. So, A is authoritarian. B is benevolent. C is critical. That the notion of God here is most like a high school vice principal, where God says, oh, you had a bacon double cheeseburger? I'm going to make a note of that, and we're going to talk about that later. Okay. Yeah, you're in big trouble. We're going to talk. And these are, if you type into Google Baylor University report about God, you can see they did statistics all over the place. This critical notion of God is mainly in the southeast of the United States. Benevolent God, I think, was up in the northeast of the United States. And they do it by income, by education level, by all different ways of breaking down to play with data. And the number D, letter D, is that this is the Pacific Northwest notion of God, that God is distant, that God somehow set everything in motion and then moved on, and you had a bacon double cheeseburger, God has nothing, that God doesn't really care.
That would be the West Coast.
That is the West Coast. So A, B, C, D, those are four common caricatures of God. Here's me. And Michael, you'll appreciate this is the polydoxy approach to it, is that I added in E, which stands for anything else. Vive la différence. I'm spelling anything with an E because it works for me.
Everything else.
Everything else.
I hadn't thought of that. I have been teaching this for years, and this is a first. That is wonderful. We're going to go with everything else. I like that. And there's this beautiful notion, and Michael helped me to get more into this gentleman by the name of Alvin Reinus, and he had this notion that religion shouldn't be orthodox. Ortho, like orthodontics, or dont being teeth, and ortho meaning straight. Or like an orthopedic surgeon is ortho means straight, and orthodox is straight belief. Orthodox, straight belief, and it's narrow. And Reinus had this idea that instead it's more this everything else, that it's polydox, that it's multiple beliefs, that there have to be more than one belief. So I share that. And okay, that was our little respite. We're going back to frustration, kids. Yes, go ahead.
Energy.
Oh, energy. That's good. That would go more with the distant notion of God. But it fits.
Not at all.
All around.
Okay, I apologize.
Ever present.
Ever present. So let's put everything else under E.
Yes.
Okay.
We thought of it when we were about 10 years old.
Okay, and then we got deluded.
No.
No.
It still is my thinking.
Okay. The rest of us might have gotten deluded.
Fair enough.
Stay the course, Rob. Stay the course. Let's try a different little frustration game. Some of you played this with me. You're not allowed to play. Let's see how we do on this. I'm going to do a number sequence here and see how well you can figure it out. Here's the first number in the sequence. I promise this is not mathematical. The next number in the sequence is this. And again, the point is here for you to notice your own frustration. And at what point do you say, this is just stupid, I'm not doing it? The next number is this. And the next number, anyone want to take a guess? Nobody who was with me on Tuesday. 3 and 1 would be a great guess, but it's actually 1, 2, 1, 1. Okay, so now let's try another one. What's the next one after 1, 2?
Something obscene in binary.
It's not binary because it's got a 2 in it.
Come on.
Sorry, Lee. Oh, wait. Okay, so the next one is 1, 1, 1-2. 2-1. Okay. Now, you hear this chorus of people who seem to know how this game is going, and you're sitting there going, how the heck do they know what the next numbers are? And I don't. Again, the point of this is not this. The point of this is this. The point of this is for you to learn about yourself. It's not this. It's this. It's for us to learn our own, what we do when we're frustrated. Let's see if we can get the next one. And if you have no idea what's going on, that's perfect. That means you're winning. Rob, you're on a roll. Go ahead. Rob was there Tuesday, but there's no stopping Rob sometimes. 3-1.
I'm done.
Okay, he's done. 2-2. 1-1. How many of you are completely lost and you should be? Good. How many of you are enjoying that feeling? Okay, not at all. Again, just notice where you are when you're frustrated. I'm going to show you it, and it's going to, and then I want you to see what does it feel like when you, when that comes, that release comes. What is this?
1-1.
It is 1-1. What is this?
2-1.
It is 2-1s. What is this? Hold on, I'm going to change colors. What is this? That is 1-2. And
2-1.
And 1-1. All right, so just all we're doing is we're spelling. What is this number right here?
1-1.
It is 1-1. What is this number here?
1-2.
That is 1-2. What is this? Who just said I still don't get it?
2-1.
Me.
All right, you who said it, everyone else, be quiet. The fact that you get it, that's wonderful, but we want to catch everyone up. What is this one? Who didn't get it? I didn't know who it was.
Kitty.
Kitty, go ahead. What do you see here?
I'm not good at this. I give up.
Okay. Oh, I know you, Kitty Nelson. Hi, friend.
Hi.
Well, okay, so...
I really don't get it because I'm not good at this, but I'm listening.
Okay, you are exempt, and I love you exactly as you are. So this was 2-1s. I'm just going to finish it for everyone else. Let's see if we can get to the end. So what would the next line after this be? Let's all do it together. This would be?
1-3.
1-3. 1-1.
1-1.
2-2.
2-2s.
2-1. Yay! Okay, I'm seeing looks of just... I'm seeing looks of disappointment. And I don't know if that's at me or at yourselves, but I'm feeling it. I'm going to take a little break. Wait a second. This is my new... Ready? Here we go, folks. Hold on to your seats. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was fun.
I want to know about the pandemic coloring book.
The pandemic coloring book. Joe, you did those, didn't you? You and Ken did them.
We did.
And there's a picture, if you go onto the Etsy page, you can see a picture of Ken very proudly holding up his pandemic coloring pages. And it's just absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
While we are doing that, let me also do a quick little shout out, because our friend Derek, where's Derek on our screen there? There's Derek. Derek turned 75 tomorrow. I'd have us all sing happy birthday, but we all know that just does not work on Zoom. So everyone just give him some big waves and blow him some kisses, because Derek's turning 75 tomorrow. So congratulations, Derek. Well played.
Well played.
Well, can you blow the kisses again? Because I didn't have the right camera on.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you very much. You guys are very amenable. All right, we're going to play another frustration game.
Today's Betsy Ann's birthday.
Oh, today's Betsy Ann's birthday. Okay, everybody. Blow kisses to Betsy Ann this time.
Right.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Betsy Ann. You look wonderful for 75.
Everybody.
Of all the victories, the first and greatest is for a person to conquer him or herself. Okay. I'm going to ask everyone, take your hands. Interlace your fingers like so. Make a little note to yourself if it's the left pinky or bottom on the bottom or the right pinky on the bottom. Undo your hands and reinterlace your fingers.
Yeah, we did that.
We did do this.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing with the discomfort?
It's discomfortable.
Okay. How many of you practice this? Nobody. Why? Because this. Oh, some of you did. Is it easier to do now, Nikki, than it used to be?
Not yet.
No.
But it doesn't bother me like it did the first time.
Okay, so it's not. Again, we're looking at frustration. The more you work on it, and that goes all the way back to our stages of change. You can undo your hands. Going back to our learning. We're all learning. We're learning towards. We're not yet at a 5 with regard to frustration. We never will be. There will always be, no matter what your level of frustration tolerance is, when you get up to a level 6.5, a level 6.6 frustration is going to come. And you can then learn how to do 6.6, and a 7 is going to come. You're never done. We're always working on this. But the more we spend time working on our frustration tolerance, the stronger we become, the easier, the less frustrated we become. So you all have homework. Well, that's it. Your homework is to be frustrated and to move from there. Let's try this. Another game.
Be frustrated and enjoy it.
If you can do that.
We need.
Right? I actually think that we can do that.
Yeah.
I know it can be done. I've gotten myself better at doing it. I'm playing the French horn. There are sounds that come out of that French horn that are not the sound I want to have. And I laugh hysterically about it because it's, to me, funny. It's just the French horn.
That's perfect.
Thank you, Rob. Rob is going to be the co-host for the rest of today. Thank you, Rob.
As long as the day is ending in a moment.
The day will be ending in about 5 minutes. Let's try another frustration one. And we'll try this. We'll see how this goes. Some of you have gotten this game. We've done it before. It goes like this. I have a hat. Whee! Oh, and this will work much better if you have the ability to use gallery view as opposed to speaker view. It'll be much easier for this game to work. I have a hat. And let's say I take the hat and I throw it into the crowd here. Who has the hat?
I have it.
And Rita, you're absolutely right. Can we unspotlight my video? Okay, we're going to. So Rita, you have the hat. Do you know this game, Rita?
No.
Okay, you're doing really well. Rita has the hat. She takes it. She throws it up. It goes to Nikki, who happens to be above her in my screen. Nikki takes the hat, rips it in two, throws half to Pam, half to Ruth, who each throw half of the hat, and they land in the same place. Who gets the hat? I think that's true. I think Nikki actually got it in that case. I need people to take guesses and to try, because otherwise this won't work. So I need you to even if you don't think you got it, and I'm going to call from now on, you're not allowed to say, I got the hat, because that might be messing us up a little bit here. And some of you know how the game works, so help me to make the game work even better. So let's say Nikki has the hat. She throws it to Ruth. Ruth has the hat. She throws it to Rita. Rita has the hat. She throws it to my sister Sari, who throws it to Joy all the way across the ocean. Joy takes the hat, puts it in a parcel. She puts the parcel in the post. And who now has the hat?
Larry.
Wasn't Larry.
The post.
In this last case, it was Rita again. Did anyone agreed? Yes or no? Can you give me a little bit more audio feedback in your responses? So, did Rita have the hat there?
Sure, why not?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brian. Okay, so Rita has the hat. She tries to give it to Brian Green. Somebody intercepts it. Who has the hat?
Me.
Okay, I'm going to stop people from stealing the hat themselves. But thank you, Lee. We're going to try to see. There's another rule at play here, and I don't know if we're going to be able to make this work. Lee stole the hat. She has the hat. She drops it. Somebody picks up the hat, and they give it to someone. Who now has the hat?
I do.
Okay, you guys are really not.
Mary?
So we're switching.
Jeffrey has the hat.
Okay, I'm going to try this game never again on Zoom.
We're all in different places.
And I'm going to thank all of you for participating. And also, bonus points to the entire group and the collective unconscious for turning the frustration game from me making things that would frustrate you into a game that would then frustrate me. So, well played. We're not going to do that again. I do also have a question, and this is there anyone, I'm thinking of running a 12-week basic Judaism course. If that is something that might interest you, please let me know. It would be a Zoom kind of style course with some reading in between, and then we would discuss those readings. If that is something of interest, I'm working on a larger project, and that would fall into that. So if you're interested in being part of a basic Judaism 12-week class, please let me know. Yes, Sherry.
Where were you ordained? Where did you go to school?
I went to Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion in Jerusalem, New York, and Los Angeles.
That's conservative.
It's a reform movement, yeah.
It's reform.
Yeah. I still...
Downtown LA.
Yeah, downtown and Adams.
Okay.
Home is Cincinnati.
The home is in Cincinnati. I avoided Cincinnati. Okay. Any other... It is great, but it was not for me. other random questions or things we should be talking about before we end for the hour?
Oh, we forgot one more of your shameless self-promotion links.
Oh, which was that one? Oh, I forgot my donate link. Here, make my job easier. Thank you very much. Let me thank everyone who makes donations to Religion Outside the Box. That's how this happens.
High Holy Days. Oh,
let's do the High Holiday one. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
High Holiday services are coming up. Thank you, Alex. There they are. I'm going to be running a Forgiveness and Atonement High Holiday Service. It is delightfully all going to be in English on the 25th of September. It might have a little bit in... Oh, and then I had one other thing I definitely do have to do. Can you all... Let me do this before I forget. Can you all hold this name, Heidi David, who lives in Ohio? Can you please hold her in your good thoughts? Our friend Linda emailed me and said, would you please ask people to hold Heidi David, who's struggling with esophageal cancer, would you please hold her in your good thoughts this week? Thank you. And let me go back to the if you would like to join on the 25th of September coming up, there is a service. You can register right here on the link that Alex is putting into the chat box. Thank you so much for reminding me, Alex. And let me go back to my regular screen.
Are you going to tell us how the hat game played or the frustration game?
Yeah, it went horribly.
Explain the rules.
Bob didn't want the hat.
Please.
Okay, so the way that the game works, can work, should work, is
work without us.
Yeah, is that it's whoever speaks after the question is asked who has the hat is the person who has the hat. But it was not meant to be today.
We did that Tuesday with something else.
With the hat.
Was the hat?
We did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's perfectly fine. This all worked the way it was meant to work. Let me wish all of you let me take a moment to wish all of you a week where you have your priorities aligned, where you
remember good Shabbos.
Where you remember to take care of your precious selves. And I promise I'll do the same.
I have a question. Got your hat now.
I can tell you who's got my goat. let's all say goodbye, wave to each other. Thank you all for coming. We'll be here again next week.
Bye. 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 Bye.